It is Thursday, July 9th. The market is starting to demand actual results instead of just hype, and the corporate world is finally feeling the heat. The shift from simple AI models to autonomous agentic workflows is now the primary focus for enterprise engineering. Companies are moving away from treating AI as a static query engine and toward building self-correcting loops that execute complex tasks without manual intervention. This transition is changing the definition of a productive engineer. Raw coding speed is losing its value because automated agents can now generate and iterate on code at scale. The new requirement is agentic engineering, the ability to architect systems that manage agent workflows, define behavioral parameters, and maintain state over time. Engineers who remain focused on manual coding or chasing the latest model releases are finding themselves sidelined. The real value is shifting to those who can build the proprietary harness that manages memory, context, and tool execution. Organizations are discovering that small, highly skilled teams using these agent swarms can replace much larger groups. It turns out the bottleneck was never the lack of code, but the orchestration of the people writing it. The consumer side of this is moving just as fast. We are seeing a move toward what is called agent as a workflow. Tools like OpenAI's ChatGPT Advanced Voice Mode are removing the artificial delays of turn-based interfaces, allowing for real-time, full duplex conversations. When you combine this with in-app integrations like Slack or Notion, the friction of context switching starts to disappear. AI is no longer a separate tool you go to visit. It is becoming an active partner baked into the software you already use. Booking Holdings, for instance, has implemented an agent called Penny to handle the nightmare of travel planning. It works by evaluating infinite permutations of itineraries to offer personalized service. This has led to a 10% reduction in costs per contact, which is a significant win for their bottom line. But it also highlights the tension between efficiency and the human element. The CEO, Glenn Fogel, is warning that companies must know when to hand the customer back to a human, or they risk alienating users during high-stress situations. That shift toward architecture is happening everywhere, even in the boardroom. It turns out that when you stop hiding behind projections, the math gets real ugly, real fast. Levi Strauss shares dropped 6% this week. They beat their quarterly earnings expectations, but the market didn't care. The company issued a conservative outlook for fiscal 2026, citing import tariffs as a permanent drag on growth. They are bracing for 30% tariffs on Chinese imports and 20% globally. It is a shitty situation for them, because their shift to a direct-to-consumer model actually pushed revenue up 7.6% to $1.56 billion. Investors are signaling that no amount of internal efficiency can outrun bad trade policy. Look at Meta. This week, they faced renewed scrutiny over their AI integration across Instagram. The company is scraping user content to train their models, and users have been opted into these datasets without a clear choice. Some legal rulings are beginning to treat these actions as intentional, which could strip Meta of insurance coverage for the resulting legal losses. This means they may be forced to pay damages out of pocket. That changes the risk profile entirely, and yet the market is still pricing them as if stability is just around the corner. It is performative. That is the only word for it. We see the same disconnect in executive leadership. Business leaders keep claiming that AI is the primary cause for layoffs and restructuring. It makes for a good headline, but the data does not back it up. Most of these layoffs are just corrections for pandemic-era overhiring and high interest rates. When executives blame the machines, they aren't being forward-thinking. They are just trying to look like they are in control while they hide behind buzzwords. It erodes management credibility and distracts teams from actually improving their processes. It is a mask for uncertainty. Meanwhile, the line between private profit and public policy is getting thinner by the day. Recently, reports surfaced that Madison Square Garden is maintaining a database of hundreds of celebrities and public figures. They assign them risk scores based on social media activity and their past criticism of owner James Dolan. They are using their venue as a tool for enforcing brand loyalty, effectively acting like a private court that judges people based on personal opinion. It turns the simple act of attending an event into a transaction where you have to surrender your autonomy just to get through the front door. These aren't just one-off failures. They are the result of a system that prioritizes short-term efficiency over long-term stability. It's happening in geopolitics, too. The Memorandum of Understanding between the United States and Iran has effectively collapsed. Markets priced in hope, and now they are looking at a compounding inflationary environment as some projections suggest global output could slide to 3% by 2026. The lesson here is simple if uncomfortable. Organizations that treat their core output as a data-driven research problem, like Driscoll S., the Berry Company, does with agriculture, separating production from innovation, can survive the volatility. But when you build your strategy on feelings, performative PR, or the hope that regulatory uncertainty will just disappear, you are building on sand. Transparency isn't just a moral choice anymore. It is the only way to avoid the kind of reputational debt that eventually bankrupts a mission. Speaking of math, some companies are finally admitting they can't do it all themselves. The era of trying to own every single piece of the supply chain is officially closing. The honest company is shifting its business model. Carla Vernon, the CEO, is moving the brand away from a growth-at-all-cost strategy toward a framework focused on strict profitability and operational discipline. The company is abandoning its direct-to-consumer fulfillment in favor of a hybrid model, which essentially offloads its logistics to external partners. Internally, they have adopted a FIFA framework that is focused, executionally excellent, fast, and aligned to tie employee tasks to specific key performance indicators. It is a classic turnaround play. You take a founder-led, mission-heavy brand and force it to act like a boring public company. It is smart, if only because growth at all costs is a hell of a way to burn through cash. By using third-party manufacturers and decentralizing leadership, Honest is trading direct control for speed. They are betting that if they stop trying to own every part of the supply chain, they can actually survive the market. Across the tech sector, Instagram is restructuring its product teams for 2026. They are ditching large, specialized committees in favor of small pods of 4 to 6 generalists. The goal is to lower coordination costs and speed up decision-making, which is exactly the kind of move you make when you realize that meetings are the primary thing killing your output. This focus on systemic design isn't limited to boardrooms. Endurance athletes are hitting similar plateaus by repeating the same low-intensity training cycles. The fix is moving to a long-term, multi-season architecture. You spend one phase on speed, another on aerobic base, and another on race-specific work. You cannot optimize for everything at once. If you try to peak for every workout, you end up peaking for nothing. Sanya Richards-Ross, pronounced Sanaya Richards-Ross, the Olympic sprinter, takes this same multi-year approach to her career. She plans her professional pivots 2 years in advance. She views her life in phases: push, pace, position, and poise. It is the same framework she used to run the 400 meters, applied to her life after track. She is not waiting for one chapter to close before she starts writing the next. Even in biology, we struggle with this. Life Kit reports that fertility is statistically inefficient, with only a 25% to 30% chance of conception per month for healthy couples. People treat it like a personal failure when it does not happen immediately, but that is a misunderstanding of the biological system. It is not a test of your personal effort. It is a long-term data collection project. Whether you are building a product, a company, or a family, you have to stop acting like you can force the outcome through sheer force of will. You have to build the architecture, track the data, and accept that the system does the work, not you. It is less romantic. It is definitely less heroic. But it is the only way to actually reach the finish line. But even when you offload the heavy lifting, you still have to control the narrative. If you don't, you end up like the legacy media giants, watching your own foundation crumble. Comcast is splitting its broadband and entertainment businesses. After 15 years, the company is effectively admitting that its Content Plus Pipes strategy is a failure. Executives are now unbundling to meet investor demands for clearer asset valuation. This move marks the end of the giant, vertically integrated media conglomerate. Consumers simply refused to pay for content if it meant navigating artificial barriers set by their internet provider. It turns out, the market prefers specialization over artificial advantages. The consequences of this breakup are already visible. By separating into two entities, NBC Universal and the broadband operation are now easier to acquire. While executives claim they are still in the market for acquisitions, the complexity hurdles that once protected them are gone. We are looking at a period of serious consolidation as these companies try to define their future in a post-bundle market. Meanwhile, the media industry is being hollowed out by a sports trap. As cable bundles collapse, live sports remain the only thing holding the legacy media cost structure together. Companies are forced to bid higher for sports rights to stay relevant, while younger audiences flock to free, creator-led content on platforms like YouTube and TikTok. Eventually, the cost of these rights will exceed the revenue from legacy distribution. That will force a total market reset, which, honestly, is a hell of a thing to watch in real time. Some companies are trying to bridge this gap through radical transparency. Hellgate, the New York City outlet, is using an adversarial journalism model to replace the sanitized, cautious reporting of traditional corporate media. By using high-definition mobile technology, they bypass expensive studio infrastructure to produce high-engagement, gonzo-style broadcasts. They treat their audience as a community of stakeholders rather than passive consumers. This is the opposite of the corporate identity play we see from firms like Palantir. Alex Karp has found that enterprise buyers prioritize intellectual authority over product marketing. According to company data, this strategy drives purchasing consideration at a rate nearly 3 times higher than conventional outbound campaigns. But there is a catch. If leadership focuses too much on abstract visions and forgets the actual product utility, the whole thing falls apart. Just look at the collapse of Snap's market cap after their spectacles launch. The common thread here is that the most enduring businesses are moving away from proprietary secrecy. They are commoditizing their own operational playbooks, basically building a GitHub for their own internal processes. This allows them to capture market attention while refining their own internal velocity. Whether it is a restaurant group like Marcus Samuelson's using media to build a social infrastructure, or a news outlet using live-streamed election coverage to build brand loyalty, the lesson is the same. The old gatekeepers are struggling because they are built for a world of passive consumption. The new winners are building platforms that amplify the voices of their communities. If you are still trying to sell a product without a narrative, or a narrative without a community, you are already behind. Anyway. That is the state of play. And while the big players scramble to pivot, the rest of the world is moving on to the next set of problems. Here is what else is on the radar. A few other things worth knowing. Tech companies are shifting from internal AI funding to debt and equity markets. It's a move toward a more balanced capital structure, which might actually help them stop burning cash like it's going out of style. Microplastics are acting like Trojan horses in our bodies. They soak up pollutants and carry them into sensitive tissues like the brain and placenta, where they mess with our hormones. Maybe we should stop waiting for definitive proof of harm before we start trying to reduce the exposure. The talk about a new NBA team in Las Vegas is hitting a fever pitch. With valuations between $7 and $10 billion, the eventual franchise fee is going to be astronomical. It's a bidding war, and honestly, it's getting ridiculous. Refereeing in professional football is a mess. Whether it is Argentina or France, the perceived bias in officiating is directly deciding match outcomes, which is a hell of a thing to watch in real time. The U.S. military is responding to Iranian aggression with 10 times the force intensity. It is a gamble to keep the Strait of Hormuz open while trying to avoid a full-blown regional war. Handing heirs a pile of cash without any legal safeguards is usually a recipe for disaster. If you don't have the structure in place, that family wealth tends to evaporate the moment the founder is gone. Regional health groups like the Africa CDC are proving that local responses beat waiting for centralized coordination from Geneva. It's faster, smarter, and saves lives when an outbreak hits. Some people are pushing the idea that reality is basically a pre-rendered interface. They argue physical laws are just information, not independent facts, which is a lot to process before your first cup of coffee. Scientific progress is stalling because we keep funding isolated projects instead of shared infrastructure. We need standardized tools like cell atlases if we actually want to move the needle on discovery. Donald Trump is back to mixing diplomatic praise with aggressive threats. It creates a level of strategic ambiguity that makes it impossible for allies or adversaries to tell if he has a policy or if he's just winging it again. Companies that actually track their hardware inventory have a huge advantage when a crisis hits. IT asset management sounds boring until you need to move your entire workforce remote overnight. Eleanor Roosevelt spent her life proving that cultural biases aren't permanent. She went from being a socialite to a fierce labor advocate, which is a pretty good reminder that people can actually change. Our biology evolved over 300,000 years in the wild. If you feel like you aren't built for a cubicle, it's because you aren't. Stop acting like an NPC in your own life. If you don't pick your own path, you're just letting someone else's script dictate your values. That is the update for today. Keep your eyes on the data and stop falling for the scripts.